call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
A good Thursday morning to you. Yeah, they did it again. The NFL said, in case you didn't know, we still kind of rule this sports world. If you thought that the Russell Wilson trade and Aaron Rodgers sticking around didn't remind you that even though it's March, we can still capture the headlines, just in case you needed to be reminded, and if that wasn't good enough, oh, by the way, Carson Wentz is going to get traded to Washington. So that was the big story yesterday. Carson Wentz lasted for a blink of an eye in Indianapolis. And I'm sorry. I feel like I owe you all an apology. Because when this trade happened a year ago, when the Philadelphia Eagles sent Carson Wentz to Indianapolis, I said, you know what? This actually makes a lot of sense for Wentz and the Colts. This actually makes sense. He's going to reunite with a coach. He's got Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. He's going to have a better offensive line. And, oh, by the way, just to keep things even better for him, that the defense for the Colts was actually really good and actually was opportunistic in terms of getting turnovers. This is going to allow Wentz all of the tools he needs to shine. And actually, he didn't have a bad season. He threw 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. At one point, never forget this, at one point, when they went to Arizona and beat the Cardinals on Christmas night, they were one of the hottest teams in the NFL. But a lot can change in this league. And in back-to-back losses to the Las Vegas Raiders, and then an unbelievable, still can't put my head around it, loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, a game they had to have. That's it for Carson Wentz. So now he goes to Washington, that, like Indianapolis, keeps giving starting quarterbacks job after job after job. This, again, is going to be yet another starter for Ron Rivera since his arrival in Washington. So it comes at a little bit of a cost. And for Indianapolis, they go, well, we tried. And now they will go into this offseason trying to figure out who they will have under center. Could Jimmy Garoppolo end up there? We'll talk about all this coming up. We'll get into a little NBA and, of course, college basketball championship week. And plus, it's a throwback Thursday, so you never know what we'll be conjuring up there. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation alters his body chemistry. And now when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Incredible Hulk with Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno debuted on this date. That's our throwback Thursday, 1978. And as Ron and I were saying while we were playing that intro, that sounds very 70-ish in terms of its intro. Do we even have television shows that do that anymore, where there's just this long voice-over narrative to explain what the show is? Every single week? I don't think we do.
I can't think of one.
I think they got rid of that. I mean, really, to be honest with you, it's kind of a waste of valuable time, to be right. Like, you got an hour program minus the commercials. Yeah, you know, it's probably like 40 minutes, 42 minutes of actual. And you got this one long monologue narrative of an announcer explaining what the show is about. The Incredible Hulk. Bill Bixby.
Well, quick, the thing to think about, too, is do we need it?
Yeah, no. Yeah,
I mean, if you're into the show, you kind of know that intro already, right?
Yeah, right.
That he got blasted by some gamma rays?
Yeah, you're pretty much knowledgeable of what this is about, right?
Yeah, and even, in the Avengers movie when the Mark Ruffalo Hulk first appeared, I don't even think they explained it then.
No, I don't think they did.
You just kind of knew that, yeah, he got blasted by some gamma rays.
Exactly. And this, of course, was the TV show that gave you won't like me when I'm angry. And then he would get angry, and then he would turn into the Hulk. And Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, what a career Lou Ferrigno had, huh? Oh, all he had to do was just show off his green chest.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I was like a little kid, Mr. Rogers went to go talk to Lou Ferrigno to explain to little kids that the Hulk was a real person and he was just an actor. Because it was kind of scary when you're like six and the Hulk is on TV and he had the hair and the purple pants and he was just throwing cars up in the air and he didn't seem to have any control. He couldn't speak, so you didn't really know what exactly he was thinking.
Just grunted all the time?
Just grunted all the time. Like, is he a good guy? He could turn on all of us. So that was The Incredible Hulk 1978. Again, Bill Bixby played a pretty good David Banner. I always was kind of freaked out as a kid because I didn't really understand the show when I watched it. Like, my parents would watch it. And there was always that scene of him looking at his gravestone because he was trying to – he had to pretend he was dead so he could wander around the country. So – The Incredible Hulk, 1978. So we're going to do 70s themes today. Okay, so Carson Wentz has been traded to the Washington Commanders. I know we've got this narrative on Carson Wentz. I get it. And like I said at the top of the hour, I apologize. I thought it was going to work. I really did. And you know what? I'm apologizing, but at the same time, could you blame me? Let's be honest. Everything seemed to be working in the Colts' favor to bring in Carson Wentz, who at one time and with the Eagles was having an MVP season before he got hurt, and the Eagles went on to win the Super Bowl and with Nick Foles, but they were still committed to him because he had played that well. He's got a great arm. He's got good size. He's got all the tools, right? He doesn't like the short, throw into the flat kind of plays. He likes to extend plays. He likes to force the ball into windows that probably he shouldn't. He's a little bit undisciplined in those things. But the Colts finished 9-8. And they failed to make the playoffs because the final two games of the season, they needed one win. And while it's okay, all right, they lost to the Raiders at home. Whoops. Okay, it happens. But there is no reason why they should have lost to Jacksonville. There was none. Other than Jacksonville has professional football players. But everything was on the line for the Jaguars, and he played terrible. Is this decision coming down to one game? No. By all accounts from people in Indianapolis and in the stories that I've been reading yesterday and today, it was a problem throughout the season. They didn't really like his leadership. He didn't really adjust his game the way they liked it. You know, he didn't deal well with hard coaching. They had some issues with Carson Wentz. But I'm telling you, if they had made the postseason, Carson Wentz would still be a Colt today. I don't care what anybody in that organization would say. Oh, no. A lot of problems. If a quarterback can get you to the playoffs, you keep him. You keep him. You work around those problems, but you keep him. Because there's not a lot of guys that can get you to the playoffs. I think, though, when you go, man, this guy, you know, players aren't responding as well as we wanted to. He's not doing this the way we want him to. He's not doing that. You know, coaching is a problem. You know, we're asking him to take the easy play when it's available. He won't. He throws balls in the coverage that he shouldn't throw it to. Even though he only had 7 interceptions last year, you know, which is a fine number for a guy who played all 17 games. But I think if you are going in to the latter part of the season and there are things about your quarterback that you don't like, even if he's got you as the hottest team in the NFL, if that turns, then it makes your decision easier. And believe me, once they lost to Jacksonville and didn't make the playoffs, it became very easy to then say, we are not committing ourselves to this. Now, I'm going to use this sort of an analogy here. It's an analogy, but it's a story that kind of combines this. A number of years ago, there was a big social media YouTube craze where there was this video that everyone was sharing virally on solar roadways. Did you ever hear this? I'm talking like 2013, 2014.
No.
Okay, so this was a big deal. It's called solar roadways. And it was this mom and pop. They invented these tiles, these solar tiles. Anyway, the idea was we're going to tear up all the asphalt in the country and put in these stupid solar tiles. And they were going to be able to use the solar tiles to light up the roads and, you know, make heat up the ground for ice And they had all this scientific stuff, right? And inevitably, what would happen is you'd watch this, and the plan was all of the asphalt was going to get torn up, or every road in the country was going to be replaced by these stupid solar tiles. And then somebody would put in the comments, hey, this sounds really expensive. Can we even afford to do this? And what inevitably would happen would be somebody would write, we can't afford not to do this. They would go freaking out. In the NFL, that term, that sentence that people overuse for dumb scientific things that don't make sense is used all the time when it comes to quarterbacks. If you're Washington and you've just given up draft picks for Carson Wentz, the question is, well, and by the way, you picked up all of his salary, which now limits you in the cap. The question should be, can we afford to do this? And if the answer is we can't afford not to do this, it's because there's nobody in the NFL that can play quarterback that's available to you. Ron Rivera has tried. He really has. Taylor Heinicke is a fine quarterback, but he's not a legitimate starter in this league. And say what you will about Carson Wentz, he is. You may not like his game at times, and you may think that this guy's got one more year to showcase, you know, show off his career. But the reality of it is, Carson Wentz is a better option than Taylor Heinicke, and he is a legitimate starter in this league. He needs to replace things in his game, without question. He has got to learn to take what the defense gives him. If that means a short 3-yard pass into the flat, that's what he's got to do. Not wait and find a window and say, I'll deliver it there. Jay Cutler used to do the same thing. Used to drive me crazy. Carson Wentz, if he couldn't work with a former coach in Frank Reich, I don't know how he's going to work in a Ron Rivera system. I have no idea. But again, think about Washington's acquisition of Wentz. I know it's easily going, oh, God, look at this stupid football team. Dan Snyder and his dumb football team going after a quarterback that can't do it. There is no other option for them. There is no other option. And I'm not saying this is the best decision, but they did go after Russell Wilson. They did go after Aaron Rodgers. They are trying to upgrade that position. Taylor Heinicke is not a legit starter for them. And now they've got a guy that was two games away from getting his team to the postseason, but that team had better tools than Washington. Now, we'll see. But Carson Wentz, you got to think that this is it. This cannot be a revolving door of going to team after team after team and every coach going, well, it'll work here. Because the last two were really quick to jettison him. We talked about this yesterday with Russell Wilson with the Denver Broncos and how these things just don't occur. And yet, in the last few years, we've seen franchise quarterbacks change teams. Tom Brady moved on. Matt Stafford got shipped to L.A. Aaron Rodgers could have been traded this year. Russell Wilson is now a Denver Bronco. Carson Wentz isn't on that level. Carson Wentz isn't near where those guys are in their careers. But Carson Wentz is a legit starter. He might be on the middle tier, but he's a legit starter. And yet, once again, a team went, nope, that's it. And you want to go back to that saying, we can't afford not to? I used it for Washington, who gave up draft picks and a hefty salary to pick up a Carson Wentz, who's still a kind of an unknown as to whether or not he can deliver the goods. But on the flip side, think of that line for the Indianapolis Colts. Can we afford to keep him? Can we afford not to? The decision was, yeah, we can afford not to. We decided to get rid of him. We have no idea who's going to play quarterback for us next year. Sam Ellinger, Jimmy Garoppolo, we have no clue. Somebody in the draft, we have no clue. But you know what? Whatever that answer is, it's better than him. That's the decision that they made.
It's better than him. Seattle made the same decision, but they're rebuilding. They didn't get rid of Russell Wilson because he was a problem or because he lost a game in the final week of the season that would have put him in the playoffs. They got rid of Russell Wilson because Wilson did want to go somewhere else. And the organization was going in another direction. And they needed building blocks and all of the things that we talked about yesterday. The Colts just didn't want this guy. The Colts would rather be today, March 10th, they'd rather be, we have no idea who's playing quarterback.
Sam Ellinger, right. We're back, right.
They'd rather have an unknown, an open field, an open position than him. And Washington would rather have him than Taylor Heinicke. And the vicious cycle continues of quarterbacks so far in this NFL. It's very, very crazy. And again, it's something it's fun for us because we have all these conversations. I mean, it started 2 years ago with Tom Brady, right? Where we were like, this is a major, major move. And over the last 2 years, we've seen these kind of quarterbacks, you know, from the low end on Carson Wentz to the high end of Tom Brady to Aaron Rodgers flirting with the idea of leaving. We're seeing quarterbacks becoming stories, becoming big deals in trades.
I just want to know, I mean, are the Commanders looking at him as the starting quarterback?
They have to. They're going to pay him $20-something million.
It's just beyond me. I don't know. His stock has dropped drastically.
Let's discuss that when we come back, because I think that's an interesting question that you ask about Washington. Because, again, it's going to cost them some money. It's really going to cost them some money. All right, that's coming up next. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Your thoughts on the Carson Wentz trade to Washington. Does that help Washington? Is it going to be the same old in Washington? And what about Indianapolis' decision to cut ties with them? Your thoughts on that? You can hit us up there. It's Tony D, Ron Culver on Wake Up Call.
This is it, this is it. This is life, the one you get. So go and have a ball.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're doing 70s theme songs today from TV because today in 1978, The Incredible Hulk debuted on TV with Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. So I thought I'd have some fun with this. This is One Day at a Time. This is Bonnie Franklin's television show. It was based in Indianapolis.
Yep.
So why not? Let's roll with that with the Colts and the Washington Commanders. So, now, by the way, Dave Preston's going to join us in the third hour, and he is a television savant. He remembers all sorts of shows from the 70s and 80s, so this should be a fun throwback.
I'll try to find the most obscure one from the 70s then.
Exactly. We used to, remember when we were younger, we used to just talk about old TV shows, remember, even that lasted like 10 seconds like on ABC. Like shows that were on for like 5 episodes and then just left. So we've been talking about, of course, Carson Wentz moving on, and now he's gone out to his third team after 1 year with the Colts. So you bring up an interesting question. All right. Well, first, the question is, like, is he going to actually start? Well, yeah, because I think Washington's paying his full $23 million salary. That's not for a backup. They already have a backup in Tyler Heinicke. They can find somebody to do it. But his stock, it's funny that you bring that up because I feel the same way, too. But the numbers don't really show that. It's just the public perception that he has fallen off the planet and his ability to play the position because of the last few struggling years in Philadelphia and then this season where they fell apart at the end. Does he get any credit at all for being the quarterback of, again, the hottest team in the NFL at one point when they beat Arizona on Christmas? Remember, I kept saying that's a dangerous football team. They've got an MVP-level running back in Jonathan Taylor, and Wentz was playing really well. He had 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. That's a pretty good season. But again, I think the problem with Wentz comes from his inability to take a team and carry that team. They needed him to do that at the end of the season, and he wasn't able to do it. You can find so many different faults in anything, but we say this all the time. When it comes to wins and losses, it is on the quarterback. A quarterback can complete 80% of his passes, 4 touchdowns. But if that team finds a way to lose, even if it's all on the defense, it is still on the quarterback. The quarterback has to take every scenario that is in his hands and deliver. Up, we're down 3. It's my turn to get down the field. Up, we're down 7. I got to get a touchdown. Up, they keep scoring on us. Well, I have to answer. The quarterback has to do it. It is directly related to the success of a quarterback, wins and losses. So I've seen Indianapolis reporters who cover the Colts a lot closer than I do say, no, this wasn't the final game, although it was kind of the thing that really hurt him. But as I said, okay, let's flip that though. Are you willing to admit if Carson Wentz was this big problem in terms of his inability to be coached, his lack of leadership, right, his inability to understand certain circumstances within the game where he's forcing the ball too much again into receivers that shouldn't be throwing to? Are you telling me that the Colts would have parted ways, would have made this deal if they had gone to the postseason? If he had found a way to win that game against Jacksonville and they had gone to the playoffs? Are you telling me we would be talking about this in March? Because I have a funny feeling we wouldn't be. Because even a playoff quarterback that's a headache is still a playoff quarterback. And how many of those are out there? So again, as I was saying earlier, it was so bad. And for all of the reasons that I mentioned, it was so bad that the Colts are willing to go, we'll bring in somebody else. And that somebody else could be Jimmy Garoppolo. They're like, we'll take our chances. We'll figure this out. We don't want him, but we'll figure this out some way, somehow.
Man, you said it earlier. I was 100% with you. I thought this was the perfect situation for Carson Wentz.
I thought this was great for him.
Reuniting with his coach that made him who he was for the Eagles. So the writing's on the wall. This is going to be great.
Look, he's got tools. He's not a crappy quarterback.
No,
he is 6'5" with a rocket arm.
And I think you're right.
He should be able to work that into some sort of level of decent play.
And I think you're 100% right. I think it is public perception.
Yeah.
On this one, that we all sit there like, oh, he just can't play the game anymore.
He throws that ball in places that it doesn't need to be. At the NFL level, he can't get away with that. He throws that ball into coverage he should not be going to, and he can't help himself. One NFL executive anonymously said, you can coach him all you want, but when he gets in the game, he's going to revert back to the thing he knows, and that's the thing he knows. That he sees a receiver, he sees a little window, and he thinks he can drill it into that window. Again, as I mentioned earlier, Jay Cutler was notorious for this. Mike Shanahan used to pull his hair out of his head because this is what Cutler used to do in the early years when he was with the Broncos. You would go, oh, kid, we get it. You can zip that ball like a bullet, but you can't sling it into that window, man. You just can't. And I know it's boring when you're a quarterback and you're looking and you're looking and you're looking and you're looking and you go, find the flat. But sometimes you have to make that play, right? You sometimes have to do it. You know what it is? It's like gambling. If you've ever sat at a blackjack table and you're betting $5 a hand, and then you start raising your bets up, you know, like 10, 20, 25, and you're winning some and you're losing some. Sometimes you're successful, sometimes you're not. And then there's a point where you're not as successful and you're losing a little money and you have to go back to the $5 bet and you go, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm having more fun on the edge with my $25, $30 bets. I don't want to go back to $5. Well, sometimes you have to go back to $5. And Carson Wentz is going to have to learn. Sometimes that short pass that picks up 4 yards is the best you're going to be able to do. And that's why he throws when he's getting tackled and things like that. Can Ron Rivera fix that? I have zero idea. But I know he better learn to fix it. Because this is what Washington has. And this is all Carson Wentz has left. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tom. Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
70s theme shows on the day, on the anniversary of the Hulk hitting our screen in 1978. This is Fantasy Island, Ricardo Montalban and Herb Vilches. If I remember correctly, was this where you would get your wishes granted?
But was it really your wish that was granted?
No, it was like your wish, but then you would learn a lesson.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you landed on the island and you wanted love, but then you would learn that sometimes you have to earn love. You can't just have it given to you, that kind of thing, right? Is that the way we...
Yeah, that's how I remember it. There was always a twist.
If you
wanted more money, you got money, but you realize that, no, money is a problem.
I never really watched the show, even when it was in syndication. I knew about it, but I don't think I've watched like a full episode of it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, but I know about it, of course.
Yeah, we know the plane,
right? Exactly, and it brought people to the island. Was Mr. Rourke? Was he like an angel or something? Was he a real person, or was he like a mythical figure that could grant these fantasies?
Tony, that's like trying to answer how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know, right? We'll never know. Unless somebody out there who remembers the show, maybe they revealed it at some point. I think he battled the devil, and the devil was Roddy McDowell, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Fantasy Islands, we're doing 70s themes today. The Incredible Hulk made its debut on this date in 1978 on a Throwback Thursday. So we're just going to have some fun with that. But you mentioned something. We were talking about Throwback Thursday possibilities. And if you've listened to this show a long time, sometimes we do some serious stuff. Sometimes we do some real sports, major sports events. And sometimes we do this where it's like pop culture or something. And we have a pretty good time with it. But one we could have chosen, but we decided not to because it was only 2 years ago. This is the Rudy Gobert game.
But it feels 10.
It feels like 10 is right. Only 2 years ago, the sports world, this is the first domino that struck that started to knock down all the other dominoes.
Well, I hadn't struck just yet. This is when, wasn't known that Rudy had COVID, right?
This is where he did the mic thing, right?
Yeah.
He touched all the
mics. On this day, he just kind of touched all the mics.
And then this started. Then he got to a game in a couple of days where
next day.
Down. Yeah. It was the next day, right?
Yeah, because I always remember the 12th being the day that the country shut down.
I remember the SEC tournament was in Nashville, and it was going to go on.
Yeah.
And they were going to – then they went, no. Then there was a game in the Big East tournament that got stopped at halftime. And then that shut down. And then the NBA shut – then everything started to shut down. It really was panic time.
I mean, it was – I just remember alert after alert on my phone.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they canceled this game. It's like, wait,
NHL, what? Everything, yeah.
You guys are – what? What's going on?
Spring training went down. So, yeah, this was like the first inkling that something was going down, like something was going to start happening.
And really, I mean, we can take it to a larger context. I mean, it was like the catalyst for everything for our nation. Right. I mean, because we saw the world shutting down. Italy had already been doing this for a while, and we're like, oh, my God, Italy, what's going on over there? And then it was England, and we're like, oh, it's all throughout Europe. But for us, ground zero was always Rudy Gobert touching mics.
I remember like worried because look, it's easy to look back now and we got a kind of handle on it and things like that. But I remember going, is this it? Like, what is this virus going to do? Like what, how are we going to get sports back soon? Are we going to get it back in the way we want? How are we going to do this? And I kind of figured we'd figure it out, right? Like I kind of figured like eventually we'll go, okay, this is what the virus is doing. This is who it's affecting. This is who is really suffering for it. Okay, now we can do this. Now we can do that. We can figure, but it was a level of uncertainty. And it's just, when you look at Rudy Gobert 2 years ago touching those microphones, you're like, ugh. It's just, we didn't know. And we we didn't know we were overreacting. We didn't know what was going on, right? Like, we didn't know anything about it. But
and it was only for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, with the professional sports. Once they canceled the conference tournaments, the tournament was done.
The tournament was done.
Basketball tournament was done. But yep. I remember the NBA was like, oh, you know, well, we're just going to go into a work stoppage for about 3 weeks and see what happens.
Yep. Exactly. Well, remember, too, it was Oklahoma City and Utah, but then there was another game. I think it was New Orleans-Portland that got canceled as well.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the sports – yeah, then spring training got kind of shut down for a bit. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, no. The tournament was a big deal. I remember, okay, you had these conference tournaments shutting down, and at that moment, you're like, there is no way we're going to have a basketball tournament.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way they can put this together because it was – Who's going to fly? You can't stay in hotels. Like, you just, this is no way you can do it. And sure enough, they did cancel it. And then when was the first feeling of something coming back? Was it the NBA or was it the NHL? Which one was really like, okay,
I think it was the NBA when they came up with the bubble.
With the bubble in Disney World. And then everybody was like, oh, maybe we can do that.
Yeah. We isolated ourselves and created an island, basically.
The Masters got postponed. The British Open got canceled. They didn't even play a British Open that year. Then the U.S. Open and the PGA, they all got moved.
Yeah, it was all over the place. I mean, that set up like a weird September, October.
2 years ago.
One of my most vivid memories of this date was following a thread of a reporter. And she was there covering the Utah-Oklahoma City game.
Was that Sarah Todd?
I think so.
Yeah, Sarah Todd did a great job doing that. I hope it's the same one because she. I followed that too.
Where now? I think we all did. Where she just chronicalized everything that was going on, and it was just, you know, like we're put into a room. We've heard that player has been moved, but we're kind of left here behind, and it's like 3 a.m, and you know they're not allowed to leave the building, and it was just one thing after another. You're like, my God, what is going on?
Yeah, she thought she was going to get trapped in Oklahoma City, like they wouldn't be able to go home.
Yeah.
And then she got on there was a documentary. I don't know if it was a 30 for 30 production, but it was a documentary on that date, and she was featured in that because she covered the Jazz, and she was there in that building. So, yeah, two years ago.
2 years ago.
Said, feels like 10. Goodness gracious.
Like, that's why sometimes it does amaze me still that Rudy Gobert is still playing because it's like, God, man, how long has he been in the league?
I know. Yeah, he should be an old man. That you want to talk about, that was nuts. Wasn't that crazy how time slowed down? It felt like for everybody. I've never met one person that said, oh, man, COVID just flew by, man. Everybody, when we were all locked in our houses, barely going outside, and everybody said the same thing. It felt forever.
And it was just that uncertainty. Like, we didn't know what was happening. You didn't know if, I mean, in the back of my mind, you know, worst case scenario, I was thinking, like, oh, is this kind of like, I forget which, Infinity War? You know, where somebody snapped their finger and half the world, you know, just disappears. It's like, is this what we're headed to? Like, if you're left, you made it?
My wife would go out to, like Lowe's to pick up like stuff, and we just did stuff around the house. And she was like, "I'm going." I go, "Why?" She goes, "Oh, I'm going to go pick this up." I was like, "You're going to bring that home?" I
was like, "That's right." No clue.
She went. We bought a whole bunch of lawn stuff, and that's all we did. We just worked on the lawn, bags of mulch, right? Seed. And we were doing all sorts of crazy
stuff. Yeah, that's
when
we were all making the jokes.
Ourselves occupied. Power washer. Yeah. Power washing everything.
Well, we were making the jokes that March felt like a month. April felt like 5 years.
Yeah.
Because it was. We didn't have sports, and that's our escape to reality.
It is crazy. Like, I live in a state where area. I got to tell you, you would never know 2 years ago we were in a global pandemic. I don't think I don't see masks in stores, restaurants, anywhere. All the restaurants are packed. All the stores are packed. There's no feeling like there's anything going on, like there was anything going on 2 years ago. I know in some places in the country there's still restrictions and so, but I got it. It's weird to look around and go, man, 2 years ago this place was shut down, like this restaurant was closed.
Yeah,
like we could not eat here. And then the first time my wife and I went to go eat dinner, it was like we shouldn't be doing this. Like we were in a table. It was like. Every other table was empty. The Everybody was wearing masks. The menus were paper, so they could throw them away. And they were limited menus. They only served so much, certain things. The music wasn't on. It wasn't very atmospheric. We were like, okay. But now they're cramming you in like a warehouse. They're like, yeah, party of two. Would you mind sitting next to this party of two in the booth? Because we can't jam people in this restaurant big enough. Exactly. Hey, you know what? Share that bread with your stranger friends because we're shoving you together. Exactly. So anyway, 2 years ago, Rudy Gobert, that was, you know.
Touched all the mics.
Kind of wild. All right, when we come back, I want to touch up some final thoughts. Well, not some final thoughts, because we've got some more coming up throughout the show today on the Russell Wilson trade to Denver that happened a day ago. Because I always say there's initial feeling, and then there's kind of that moment where you go, wow, this is real. On Denver's future, that's coming up next on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
70 theme songs today on Throwback Thursday on this date, 1978. The Hulk premiered on TV. But this is MASH, one of the greatest television shows of all time. Still one of the greatest television audiences ever to participate in a television show. The series finale drew, I think, one in every three people in America to watch the show. Incredible number. Incredible number. But came from the movie from 1970. Again, MASH. All right. So Denver picking up Russell Wilson. What was that? It was Tuesday? It's so... I get my dates confused over and over again. So it takes a couple of days to sort of really let it sink in. But it sunk into me yesterday when I was kind of perusing different stories and looking at different analysis. When somebody had pointed out that, you know what? This is very similar to the Herschel Walker trade in terms of the amount given away for a player. And I kind of scoffed at that a little bit. I'm like, ah. But then the more I thought about it, and I said, you know what? General managers are defined by moves like this. General managers who make this kind of move successful really cement themselves into the legacy of this league. If this works out, George Patton is going to be a legendary sports executive in Denver. John Elway signing Peyton Manning was kind of a no-brainer, if you will. There were teams that needed a quarterback were after Peyton Manning, right? And Elway got Manning because he convinced Manning, I was you. I was you. I was an older quarterback searching for that Super Bowl. Peyton Manning was searching for Super Bowl number two, but Elway hit him up on the, I was in my mid-30s. I know what it's like. I know what you're going to be going through. And Manning got that Super Bowl. He got two appearances and one title. What George Patton did is different because there were a lot of teams that made offers to get Russell Wilson. There were a few teams. Washington was one of them. They couldn't land Russell Wilson in the trade. But it was Patton who was willing to go all in. Everything. These three players, including a very good tight end. And even though Shelby Harris is 33, still productive. And here are a lot of draft picks. Again, you don't see these kind of trades. And as I said, and I'm going to keep saying this, I think that Denver, this doesn't do anything for Denver's, doesn't make them a favorite for the Super Bowl, but it puts them in the conversation in the AFC. And it's a big conversation. But it isn't so much about whether or not Denver makes it to the Super Bowl, wins the Super Bowl. The reality of it is that this guy and this organization said to its fan base, you're tired of waiting. You're tired of us telling you who's going to be the next quarterback. We heard this from Frank Schwab yesterday. That town is very loyal to that organization. And when they say, this guy is going to be all right, the fan base says, this guy is going to be all right. And they had to do it with so many guys. Right? Wacko for Flacco. In Keenum we trust. Right? Drew Locke. That's my quarterback. Said one television personality. They've bought into every single QB that organization has put under center with hope and trust that that organization knew what it was doing. And they bought it. They drank the Kool-Aid. And now this general manager, they had to promote John Elway to get him out of making decisions like this, by the way. George Patton was the one that said, I'm going to be able to put this package together. Every team that's out there that's talking to you, we've got what you're looking for. And that's a great sign of a team that is finally willing to say, we really screwed up. We brought you guys that had no business playing this position for us. And now we've given you Russell Wilson, a 9-time Pro Bowler. The Indianapolis Colts, and we said this before, the Indianapolis Colts are willing to go into this next season with Sam Ehlinger or whoever, a position right now that is wide open. That could be Sam Ehlinger, it could be Jimmy Garoppolo, it could be somebody you don't know right now, it could be, who knows? They'd rather do that than Carson Wentz. But the Denver Broncos went, we can get Russell Wilson for this huge package that's really not going to change anything about our organization. We've already made a decision on Drew Locke. We're willing to give up Noah Fant. We're willing to give up Shelby Harris. We're willing to give up these draft picks because our fan base has been put through the mud with this quarterback position. So let's give him a 9-time Pro Bowler, even if down the road people think we're crazy for doing it with that kind of haul. It was a good haul.